If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open up to John chapter 15. Open up or turn on your Bibles, whichever is okay. John chapter 15, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Here at New Life Church, what we do is we preach from books of the Bible. And so we have been going through the Gospel of John, and that is what we are going to be doing this morning. Yes, I have already begun a little bit. We go from an Old Testament book of the Bible to a New Testament book of the Bible because we want to preach from all of God's Word. And so I've already begun thinking about what would the next book of the Bible be. But you could pray that God gives us wisdom as we think about that and how that can minister to you. John chapter 15, we're going to start at verse 18, and then we're going to go through 16:4. That's the passage. Why would we pick a passage like that? Because we think that there is a main thought in this passage of Scripture. As I'm going to read this passage for us, but I want to, as I'm about to read the passage of Scripture, I want to present an argument to you. Something that I believe is true. It's a little bit hard to quantify. It really is hard to quantify. But I think as you begin to ponder this, you will come to the conclusion, yes, you can see it. We are living in a post-Christian culture. You and I today are living in a post-Christian culture. And I believe it's really important that we understand this because there are things that you are feeling as Christians, even here in the Shire, right? We joke about Watertown being the Shire. There are things that you are experiencing that I am experiencing, things that are taking place in our culture that are causing us a great deal of anxiety. Things are changing, and we're not always sure what to do about it, and we're not always sure, like, what in the world is really happening. Sometimes, because of the changes, we begin to feel powerless. Like, America is not how it used to be. And then sometimes, because we're feeling anxious, we're feeling out of control, which we were never in control in the first place, we start to respond to our culture in some really poor ways. One writer summed up this post-Christian culture like this, quote, "Society has come to have a negative view of Christianity. Being known as a Christian, listen to this, is a social negative, particularly in the elite domains of society. Christian morality is expressly repudiated and seen as a threat to the public good and the new public moral order. Subscribing to Christian moral views or violating the secular moral order brings negative consequences," end quote. And so what is happening is this, you can feel it. Again, it's sometimes hard to put your finger on it, but what is happening all around us is that increasingly as Christians, we are considered the bad guys. Have you felt this lately? It is definitely the truth. There seems to be something changing in our culture. A lot of the values and the morals and the foundation on which we stood 30 years ago, now you have conversations with people and you're like, they don't believe any of this. And again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure it out. How do we respond? And so with all of this being said, the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning is Jesus telling us how we should live in light of the fact that there is a culture war going on. Now, some people would say that the culture war has been lost by Christianity. Of course, there's a million opinions for any one topic that you want to bring up. But when it comes to you and I living in a Babylonian culture, which is America, when we're living in a culture that's drifting further and further away from Christian values, how do we live? What do we do? How do we respond? The passage that we're looking at this morning tells us. One of the things that I think we have to be careful about is, like, how do we live in our culture is we all tend to have the voices that we listen to, right? Those podcasts, your little echo chamber that you, the people that you love to listen to that get you fired up, the news stations that thrive and flourish on outrage and anger. We all have those places that we like to go and listen to. How are we to live in this society, in this culture? But let me just ask you a question. Where's really the only place that you can go to know how to live in our culture today? Where is it? It's the Word of God. That is the place. I know we have our friends and we have our voices that are kind of pulling us in how we are to live. But if you want to know how to live, specifically the place you go is to look at Jesus Christ. We look at Him and we're able to bring reformation to our own lives. We're able to bring reformation to the church. But the only way we could do that is by putting our eyes on Christ. How did He handle living in a culture, I think that we would all admit, was rather hostile against Him, right? Wouldn't we all? I mean, that's like an understatement. A culture and a society where people really hated Him so much that they had Him executed. How did He live? How did He respond? So if we put our eyes on Christ, we're going to find the answers that we need. And man, I have a hard time thinking of a topic that is more important for us as Christians today than how we are to live as disciples of Jesus Christ in the middle of a culture war, which is where we find ourselves. Let's hear what Jesus has to say. Let's turn off all those other voices, because they confuse us, and let's listen to the Word of God. John 15, starting at verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. Wow. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, who's speaking right now? Let's say it out loud. It's Jesus, right? Let's make sure that we understand. So again, everything I just talked about, right now, He is giving us the information that we need to deal with a society that it's increasingly hostile towards us. So we fix our eyes on Christ. Verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. I'll just say real quickly right now, what he's really talking about in that verse primarily is he has revealed himself. He's revealed God. He has been on earth and many people are rejecting him. There's no hope for us. There's no forgiveness of our sin when Jesus is revealing himself. He is the only way. So he's referring to the fact that they were rejecting him, not believing in him. And if that's the case, there is no hope for us in our sin. Verse 23, whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. Verse 26. But when the Helper comes, referring to the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. 16:1. Jesus right now, he's going to tell you why he's sharing all these words with you. This is he's telling you the motive and the purpose behind what he's saying. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. Think of the Apostle Paul. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. And so we have a fascinating text. Of course, it's always fascinating. It's the Word of God. But it's also fascinating because of the world in which we live in today. In a culture that is hostile towards us. And of course, I don't know if history has an interesting way of repeating itself, right? So we're looking back 2,000 years ago, and you and I, most of us know how persecution was about to break out upon the church. And now in our culture today, there's an ebb and a flow. We feel this hostility growing, our culture changing today. And again, we have a passage that helps us to know how to respond. And at the same time, I love this, as we think about this passage of Scripture, there is such a wonderful opportunity for us to bask and be amazed and worship Jesus Christ as he reveals how he deals with hostility. When we think about how he deals with it and what he does, you and I, we marvel at it, and it's an opportunity for us to worship him together in this moment. So let's talk about there's a number of things that we could talk about. So I want to highlight what I believe are the main aspects of this passage, the main things that Jesus is communicating. The first is this, pretty obvious: there will be many in the world that hate you. There will be many in the world that hate you. And so if you're trying to keep in mind the context of the Gospel of John, I think I just kind of alluded to it. I mean, Jesus is hours away from being crucified, right? Hours away from being murdered. So Jesus understands what persecution is all about. That is very, very clear. Not only die a terrible, agonizing death, but he's also there as a substitute for your sin, taking upon himself the sins of the world. This is where Jesus is going. And so he also knows his disciples are going to be dealing with a lot of hostility. I mean, they're going to be martyred. They're going to be crucified upside down. He wants to prepare them for this. He's saying this to them so none of them will be surprised. And this is one of the things that I know that is happening for us today. We're surprised. There's like, what is going on? There's like we almost seem off balance by our world today, and we don't know how to respond. And so what we do is we turn to the Word of God and we look at Christ. I'll probably say that a few more times this morning. And so in verse 18, as I kind of carry on this thought, let me just read that again. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If the world hates you. Now, we're going to come back to this thought. Jesus is not saying that for each one of us in this room that the world will hate us. That's interesting, right? He's saying if. And so we immediately have to ask the question, well, what does that mean? Why will there be some people, some Christians who are persecuted and hated, and some others that might not be? That's an interesting question. Like I said, we will come back to that. So what Jesus says is he gives the reason why he is hated. You know, why his disciples are going to be hated. And he says very clearly, it's because of him, right? So there wasn't going to be any mystery if they are going to be hated, and they were. He's saying, I want you to know why. It's because of me. It's because of him and his declaration of who he is. Now, he also says the world, right? He says the world is going to hate them. How do you define the world? That's important. The Greek word is cosmos. And in the Gospel of John, the world does not just mean the earth. Theologically, biblically, what John is saying is he's saying that part of the world that's in rebellion to God. right? So not everyone, not all order, not all creation, but the world that is in rebellion to God, he is saying they are going to hate you if you are following me. If. Now, I don't think I'm not going to work real hard this morning with the little time that I have to prove to you that the world hated Jesus, right? Because I trust that you know that part of the story. Like I've already said, he's hours away. He's giving this discourse to his disciples. It's a much smaller group. He's just hours away from being crucified. So I'm not going to spend much time on that. But what I do want to say is this, is we have to be really careful about the version of Jesus that we communicate to the world. There is a tendency within the church to soften the edges of who Jesus is. You know what I mean? You see the temptation and feel the temptation all the time. What we want to do is we want to present a version of Jesus to the world where there are no sharp edges, where there's nothing disagreeable. We want to present him to the world so that maybe if we present him in such a way that the world will embrace him. That's called compromise. We don't get to choose the version of Jesus that we want to present to the world. We go back to the Word of God. This is who Jesus is. And some people will hate him and some people will hate you for it. It's just the way it is. Some people in our culture prefer Jesus to be a life coach, right? Have you heard of this Jesus? Jesus is a life coach who just wants you to follow the desires of your heart. God bless Jesus. And so if we present Jesus as he knows you and he knows what you want, he just wants to pat you on the head and he just wants you to go do whatever you want to do and he's in heaven and he's just applauding, you go be you. If you present this Jesus to people, you will face no persecution. You want to know why? Because that's not Jesus, right? Why was Jesus hated? John has gone out of his way to communicate that Jesus is a holy, eternal God. He's not a life coach that's just kind of urging us or encouraging us down the path that we chose. No, instead, Jesus has come. He loves you. He cares about you. But he's also calling us away from our sin. You have to give up your life to follow Jesus. Amen? There's no other way. You have to give up your life. You have to repent of your sin. And there are many people back then and today that will hate you for that message. Jesus was telling them, the religious leaders hated him the most. I am a declaration that he is eternal God. And they hated him for it. And he was calling the religious people who didn't have a relationship to him to repent of their sin. And so, brothers and sisters, you and I need to know this is the culture that I would say increasingly that we live in today. Let's stop being surprised by it. Let's not be surprised by it anymore. Again, what does Jesus have to say? Well, he tells us to not be surprised. He tells us that we need to know this. So when it comes to things like views on gender, views on sexuality, views on marriage, you have choices to make. You can present these things in such a way that you will make friends with our culture, or you could be honest. You can present these things in a way that is faithful to the Word of God, Jesus Christ. But you have a choice to make. So many of the ethics and the morals that are derived from Scripture, from Christ, that our world is increasingly, they hate these concepts. They hate the stand that we are taking based on the word of God. So we have to know this and we have to be ready for this, is why Jesus is giving this information. Not long ago, a couple months ago, many of you know that I'm the president of a board for a pregnancy center here in Watertown. It's called Haven Center. And so we now have a building. We now have a sign. It's right across. Well, anyway, I won't go into too much information. It's right off of 212. We're still in the works for a lot of it. But now we actually have a sign up that says Haven Center. And a few months ago, some gentleman wrote an article about me and the Haven Center. And what did I wrote down this morning a couple of things that he put in the article. It was an online article. And he referred to me as your pastor. Can you believe this? He referred to me as, quote, radical. How dare he? He also described me as a fundy. Some of us are like, I don't know what that means, right? You know, fundamentalism. He also described me as an oppressor of women. How am I going to respond to that? It's going to happen. If you follow Jesus, that's going to happen. I wasn't surprised. I'm not patting myself on the back for that. But when I read it, I was just thinking, yeah, that's about right. That's about what the world is going to say. I know the truth. I know the truth is that we actually value all people. Babies are people. Unborn babies, they're people made and created in the image of God. They have value because God is the one who has made them. I know this. This is a conviction that I'm never going to waver on, but I also know the world's going to hate me because of it. You and I, we have to know that this is going to happen. It's going to happen. Next thing we need to talk about is this. When it comes to responding to this sinful world, there are several errors that we need to be aware of. Several errors that we need to be aware of. As I share these errors with you, there's a chance that you identify, what you probably won't like it, but there's probably a chance that you identify with one of these errors. I just want you to think about which one of these errors are you tempted to kind of go along with. I think all of us have a propensity, right? When it comes to living in a culture that's increasingly hostile towards us, the first error is this. Well, let me read verse 19. Verse 19, just keep coming back to the word. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Again, Jesus is kind of giving this a dichotomy. The world is going to hate you, but really what he's saying is the world is going to hate you only if you're following me. That's the important thing. If you're thinking this morning, the world doesn't hate me at all, I would suggest to you that's probably not good. Because Jesus is saying, if you follow him, they will hate you. So we have to do some internal, like checking into our soul. What's going on if I'm not finding resistance from a world that has fallen in rebellion against God? What are the errors? I'm going to go pretty quick with these. But again, I just want you to prayerfully think about, are you falling into one of these traps? Number one, being silent because we are fearful of not being liked by the world. Being silent because we are fearful of not being liked by the world. I put these points up here because I wanted to make sure that you could see them with your eyes and begin to identify. And what I'm about to say right now, it may sting a little bit, and I've been kind of leading up to this. Many professing Christians will never experience the hatred of the world because they aren't following Jesus at all. So we have to think about that. I'm not facing any hostility in the workplace. My views just kind of fit in with everyone else's views. I would say that that is a huge flashing yellow light. Again, I want you to know this is not Pastor Michael's opinion. This is what Jesus Christ, who is eternal God, is saying. And so there is a desire that we have. You see this as teens go off to college. I have one kid left who's going to be a senior in high school. I think about where they go to college all the time. What a place to be tempted to begin believing things that are respectable by the world. Right? Professors are telling me this. Professors are telling me that the Bible really can't be trusted. The professors are telling me that we shouldn't believe these things. These things are oppressive. No. Jesus came to free us from spiritual oppression. He came to free us. And so some of us here this morning, this is the one that we're really struggling with. Is we are afraid to speak up. We're afraid to stand on the truth. And what I want to do is I want to help liberate you and tell you it's okay. It's okay for people in your workplace or at school for them to think that you are weird. Why? Because you are. In a wonderful way. If you're following Jesus Christ, you're going against the stream of culture all the time. They are going to think that you are weird. And so you and I, we speak up. We're not afraid to stand on the truth. Amen? The world wants so desperately for everyone in this room to be quiet, to get in line. And if we follow Jesus Christ, we won't do it. This is a rebellion, after all. We're following King Jesus against the order of this world, this fallen world. So is that the error that you are falling into? How about the second error? Related to the first one for sure, retreating from the world. So people in the world will make us really mad, or they will make us really scared, right? So the world, I don't know what's true for you. As you think about the news and what's going on in the world, are you really angry? I sometimes meet Christians who they're like steaming, seething with anger. I'm like, it's going to kill you. So we're really angry or we're really scared. And sometimes the choice we make is we're just going to hole up in our house. We're going to create a bunker, and we're going to stay away from the world altogether. Do you think there's a problem with that strategy? Yeah, you can't follow Jesus and do it. At all. Well, how do we know that? I mean, everything about the gospel tells you that. Jesus left heaven to go into a fallen world to pursue sinners like me, so that I would have eternal life. So you have as your example our Lord and Savior who left safety, entered into danger so that he could save people who are lost and alienated from him. So you and I, we cannot say, I'm totally going to back out of society. I'm going to back away from everything. You can't do that and follow Jesus. What's the third error? Treating people of the world like they are the enemy. Treating people of the world like they are the enemy. We're in a post-Christian culture. We're starting to feel out of control. We're losing our equilibrium. We don't know what to do. And then what happens is sometimes we start lashing out. And so one of the characteristics of this is, you know, this is beginning to happen when you like the idea of insulting people who are of this world and putting them in their place. And you're not so interested in them having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You ever see that? I see it all the time on social media. The memes, the insults. What it reveals is that we don't love people in this world, right? Insulting them, whether it's left or right and in the middle, it's like what is happening is I'm going to say something, I'm going to try to put them in their place, and it's going to be done in an insulting way, and we think that we are following Jesus. The problem is it's our tribe, it's the people that we're listening to, that's what they're doing. It doesn't mean that we don't stand for the truth, but it means that everything needs to be characterized by love. Jesus looked at the masses and he felt compassion. like sheep without a shepherd. So let me just ask you, take a moment. Which one of those this morning are you tempted by the most? Those are the three. Self-identify. Because it will be hard, if not impossible, to follow Jesus in a post-Christian culture if we're falling into one of those errors. We might think we are, because our good friends are, but we've taken our eyes off Christ. Here's the last point. Just about done. So we've looked at the errors. You can't really preach a sermon and only talk about the errors. You got to talk about the ways that we do need to live, and Jesus does that. That's how we're going to wrap up here. Look at 15, verse 26. I'm going to read this section again. But when the Helper comes, it's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And then, and you also, New Life Church, will bear witness. Okay. Because you have been with me from the beginning. 16:1. I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. But they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. So Jesus is telling us some key things here, explicitly in the passage, and then things that we know to be true because of where he's about to go in a few hours. Three ways that we live in this culture, not those errors. Quickly, and then we'll be done. The first one is this: keep telling the world the truth and being a witness for Jesus. That's exactly what he just said, is that you and I, that we are going to be witnesses. And so what you and I, we need to do is this, is we need to remember that there is such a thing as truth. And when you and I, when we are always trying to appear to be respectable, if we are always trying to fit into our culture, then we're going to be soft on the truth. We're going to be leaving out components of what the Bible teaches because we want to fit in. So I want to tell you, New Life Church, it's okay if people think you're weird. It's okay if they think that you are a radical. Being a radical for Jesus Christ is not some special category just for some special Christians. This is what Jesus is calling all of us to. So we keep telling the truth, even if it makes us unpopular. Second thing is, don't fall away and stand strong. That's exactly what he says in 16:1. And so for you and I in our world today, we can become so overwhelmed by everything that is happening, right? We feel powerless. We feel out of control, and you are out of control, but God is not. And so Jesus is saying this, when you face the hostility, he's telling you this so that you will no longer be surprised. So when you face that hostility because of your Christian beliefs, you would say, I'm going to keep walking in this direction because this is the path that Jesus Christ walked. Amen? Jesus already walked this path. And so I'm going to walk with him knowing that I'm going to face hostility. I'm not going to back down. Here's the last one I'll give you. Love the world as Jesus loved the world. Love the world as Jesus loved the world. I love this. This is the opportunity to just really to worship Christ for who he is, to exult in him. Jesus is facing incredible hostility. Understatement. In a matter of hours, how is he going to treat those people who are planning on murdering him? What is he going to do in just a matter of hours? What's his response to the culture war? What's his response to people who hate him so much they want to kill him? What's he going to do? He's going to go to the cross and he's going to die for them. Amen? So you're wondering, how do I deal with a culture? What is my heart attitude? What do I do? What do I say? How do I respond? Well, you keep your eyes on Jesus, and you remember, he loves people so much that even when they are working to kill him, he was going to go and die for them. So you and I, when we speak the truth, when you take a stand, you always do it out of a spirit of love. You love people so much that you're not going to hide the truth, right? There's this crazy notion that love today is just like, it's you just tell people whatever they want to hear, right? You just tell people what they want to hear. Jesus is saying, that's not love at all. You have to be willing to speak the truth into their life. Otherwise, they're never going to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Final thoughts about following Jesus in the middle of an ongoing culture war. Then we're going to have the worship team come up here. I want to encourage you, church, to be okay with being a societal misfit. I want to tell you, I tell my kids this all the time. When you go off to college, when you go to school, wherever you may go, I want you to okay that it's good to be a misfit, because everyone around you is going to be conforming to the world. You be different. And be okay with being a misfit. People are looking at you and they need to see someone who's honestly following Jesus in the workplace, in the lunchroom, in the hallways of school. They are desperate. Actually, their spiritual lives are dependent on it. You and I following Jesus, no matter the cost. Truth and love, both wonderfully put together. We speak the truth because we love people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, you know this week that I have been so blessed by this passage of Scripture. God, because you know that this is the kind of thing I think about a lot. How are we as a church going to live in our culture today? And Father, you know that I love the people that are here this morning. You know that I care pastorally about the people of New Life Church. And so, God, I want to impart to them what you believe, what you say. I want them to know what it means to honor you and to walk with your son, Jesus Christ, in a culture that is going to not like what they have to say. So, Father, I pray for each one of us as we leave here this morning. I pray for boldness. Boldness that we would not be ruled by fear in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I also pray for love, that everything that we say, even the way that we say it, will come from a heart that is filled with love. Love for people who are far away from you. And that because of our witness, that people would be drawn to you in a saving relationship. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.